Wonderful, wonderful to be worshipping in the house of the Lord together. Amen. If this is your first time with us, I think there's three new people. Let's give them a big welcome. Yeah. Welcome to Harvestfield Church. And it's so good to have you with us this afternoon. Amen. Praise God. It's wonderful. Weather's nice, you know, and it's wonderful to worship the Lord together. Robert did wonderful there, didn't he? Come on, let's encourage Robert again. Well done, Robert. You did amazing there. You did amazing there. Praise God. And we're looking forward to seeing Robert lead us into worship in the future as well. Amen. Praise God. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Usually every time, whenever I bring the word, I most likely bring it from New Testament. But during our last Wednesday Bible service, as Ken was preaching, and he mentioned a couple of bits about Jerusalem and David and everything, and this sparked that message. So here I am in the Old Testament. And we need both, amen. We need the Old Testament, we need the New Testament. It is one big Testament, amen. It's one big Bible, and we need them both. Because we cannot understand the New without the Old. We cannot understand the Old without the New. We need both. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. You might have this little semi-heading there where it says, Nathan rebuked David. Not a very encouraging heading right there, but you know. But verse 1, it says, the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it and he grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his sheep and or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all of these things had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you. And he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it all in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord had taken away your sin. You are not going to die. Let me read that again. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. Just a little bit of context on what is happening here. You see, King David ends up committing adultery with Bathsheba, who was Uriah's, the Hittite's wife. And you see, Uriah the Hittite was one of David's mighty men. We read about David's mighty men, don't we, in Samuel's. And he was one of David's mighty men who actually stood by David and fought in many battles with David. So when David was supposed to be fighting in the battle with his men, what does he do? He stays back. David was supposed to be in the battleground with his men fighting, but he actually stayed back. And As he stays back, this causes him to see Bathsheba taking a bath. And so he's tempted. Okay, then he makes some inquiries and he sends one of his men to go fetch Bathsheba, and cut the long story short, he ends up committing adultery with Bathsheba, who was David's mighty man's wife. You see, so Bathsheba then becomes pregnant, so to cover his sin, he brings Uriah back from the battle to spend some time with Bathsheba. However, you see, he does not go back to his house because he's a faithful man. He does not go back to his house, but he remains at the palace entrance among the king's servants. And when David learned of this, you see, he sends for his man to bring Uriah to him. And when he asks him, Uriah, why didn't you go to your house? Why didn't you go to your home to be with your wife? And this was his reply. The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing. You see, in his heart he's thinking, how can I enjoy the luxuries when all of the fellow men are out there fighting the battle, all of the fellow men are there protecting the people of Israel? How can I go and do this thing? And surely as the king lives, I shall not be doing these things. And you see, though Uriah had been granted a temporary rest from battle by the king, he was a true soldier and chose to remain focused on his mission. See, after many failed attempts, David sends him to the front line in this battle and gets him killed. You see, so to cover up one sin, he ends up committing another sin as well. To cover up one sin, he ends up committing another sin. You see, somewhere along the line, comfortability had made its way into David's life and his vision. The same man who was once so passionate about leading the people of Israel, the same man who was once so passionate about preparing the nation to worship God, had stopped preparing for new challenges and new conquest. He had begun to rest in his previous achievements and successes, rather than seeing and exploring what other possibilities God might have had for him. And sometimes we can be in that place ourselves, where we too can get comfortable in our journey and stop growing in our journey. But the word of the Lord to us is this: let's not stop growing. Amen. Let's not stop growing in our spiritual journey. Let's not stop growing in our maturity of the word of God. We have to continue to be intentional in what we do. We have to. There is no other way. See, dare to dare dream big dreams. Dare to have big visions. We have two characters here: Prophet Nathan and King David, and also Uriah. Okay, so but I want to focus today on Prophet Nathan and King David. You see, the day we stop dreaming, the day we stop having vision, is the day we stop living. Because life without vision is no life at all. Life without a purpose is no life at all. And that's why Jesus came to give us life. Jesus came to give us vision. Jesus came to give us purpose. Jesus came to give us life and life to its fullest. The day we stop growing is the day we stop living life to its full. And you see, throughout the history, we've always seen every king. See, for every king, there has always been an opposing or challenging prophet ready to challenge the king and put the covenant in front of king, calling kings to come to this accountability to God. Throughout the generation, we've always had kings and prophets working as one. King Saul, who did he have? Prophet Samuel. Okay? And now we have King David, and who does he have? Prophet Nathan. And you see, there are some very important lessons we can learn from both of these characters. So let's start with Prophet Nathan. So first thing I want to bring to us is this. Prophet Nathan understood his divine calling. Let me repeat that again. Prophet Nathan understood his divine calling. See, he operated out of deep conviction. Prophet Nathan operated out of deep conviction. See, he was not called to please the king. He was not called to agree with the king. But he was called to help the king make right decisions and right choices. Not only that, but he was actually called to challenge the king. For the king to do the right thing. See, he could have easily agreed with the king and easily blended in with how the system and the nation was moving. But he was actually very attentive to the voice of the Lord. This one man, because he was attentive to the voice of the Lord, and he heard from God that King David had not been living the right way he should have been living. And that's why, because he gets this message, what does he do? He goes to King David. And many times whenever we read this account as if Prophet Nathan was there to expose King David. That's one of the truths. Yes, Prophet Nathan was sent there by God to help David realize what he had done. Because David had not yet fully come to that place of repentance. David had not fully come to that place of realization that what he did was wrong. Even though he knew he was wrong, he had not fully admitted that he had done wrong. So then Prophet Nathan goes to him. Yes, he wants to help him. But most importantly, Prophet Nathan goes to him because he wants to restore him. Amen. Prophet Nathan goes to him because he wants to restore him. And such is the grace of God. And such was the grace of God upon David's life. He'd committed a sin, yes. But God was more interested in restoring him as a man of God rather than exposing him as a sinner. See, sometimes in our mindsets we think when we mess up, that's the end of my life. I'm a bad person. I'll never be able to recover. But in truth, the reality is we will never be able to fully fall into that pattern of living as righteous. Because we're in flesh. And the only time we will be made completely righteous is in the day of glory. Because we fall. There are many shortcomings. You know, we make mistakes on a regular basis. And I praise God for the grace of God that when we fall, He picks us up. I praise God for the grace of God that when we make mistakes, He teaches us and He restores us. Amen. That He never leaves us. I love that verse in Romans. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing out there that can separate from the love of God. Not our own actions. Even our own actions cannot separate us from the love of God. The love of God is always there available. What we do is we ourselves push back from the love of God. See, when we make mistakes, that's when we need to run to God. Amen? In our rebellion, we need to run to God, not run away from God. See, we are not called to be famous, but we are called to be faithful and obedient. That's what we learn from Prophet Nathan. Had he wanted to be famous, he could have easily said, "Listen, David, you're amazing. King David, wow, you are amazing." But he said, "No, King David, there's something wrong here, and we need to make it right." And although he was not famous in the sight of King David at that time, later on we see in the story that King David appreciated Prophet Nathan. Amen? And sometimes that is the truth for us. We might not appreciate the harsh truth when someone corrects us and someone tells us, "Listen, something needs to change." But along the lines, when we see the type of man and woman we've become, we actually look back and we thank God for that man or for that woman who's corrected us and who's helped us in that journey. Has anyone been there? See, we don't like corrections all the time. But let's learn to appreciate corrections, amen? Whenever someone comes to correct us in private, it's because they love us, they care for us, and they want the best for us. And Prophet Nathan was sent to David because God loved David and God wanted the best for David. And because David could not see that in himself, God had to send Prophet Nathan. And sometimes God might send someone like Prophet Nathan along your way who might challenge you, and although you might not like it, thank God because He's done that for you. Amen. And I need to thank God because He's done that for me. So secondly, Prophet Nathan was more interested in restoring King David rather than exposing King David, which I've just said. See, we have to get busy building and restoring the people rather than destroying them and pulling them down. You see, sadly, such is our community and such is our society, such is our nation at the moment, where everyone's running for their own priorities, where everyone's running for their own agendas. Can you imagine what community would look like if everybody got busy building one another up? If everybody got busy building each other up? See, a lot of people grow up these days and they grow up with this wrong identity because of what they see in social media and on television and things like that. And sadly what it's doing is it's shaping their mentality so much so that they've actually forgotten their true identity and they're trying to be someone that they're not supposed to be. You are you, I am me. As much as hard as I try to be like David, I cannot be like David because David's very cool. There's only one David. No one can be like David. There's only one David. There's only one Robert. Amen. There's only one Mike. There's only one Ava. And there's only one Daniel. And that is the wonderful thing about God. You know, when He created you and me, He made every and each and every one of us unique and different. And He filled us with different giftings and talents. And you see, we have to get rid of I'm holier than thou attitude. We have to get rid of I'm better than you attitude. We have to get rid of look at me attitude. Because this isn't about look at me. This is about, hey, what we can do together, what we can achieve together. Church is all about what we can do together in this community for Jesus. Church is all about what we can do together to help individuals in this community together. Church is all about, hey, what can we do to bring the message of the gospel into the broken and hurting communities. That is the message of the gospel. Amen. And that's exactly what Prophet Nathan did. Prophet Nathan, he went to see David. He could have just said, listen, I'm not going to David. He's useless. But he actually made time to go see King David. Because the same man, King David, who was so humble, okay, had now looked around all the things he'd achieved. And sadly, a little bit of pride and ego was getting in his heart. Yet, God still said he's man after his own heart. Okay, and he said that after this incident, David is a man after my own heart. And he said that before this incident as well, he's after my own heart. And you see, what God says about us does not change. But what we do about that promises should change. Our attitudes should change. Our discipline, our rhythms of life, our habits should change. There's a promise for each and every one of us. But that promise will only stay promised, church. So we have to hold on to them promises. And we have to work according to them promises. I cannot just sit back and wait for the promises to be fulfilled in my life. We have to do something about it. We have to do something about it. You see, today I have this task of actually bringing the message. I could have just sat back and said, oh, you know, I'm not going to prepare anything. God's going to use me when I get there. I can do that, and God can do that, yes, by all means. But then comes my bit where I need to study the Word of God, when I need to prepare the Word of God. And it's the same principle for you and me as well, church. You know, for example, you're hungry at home and you want to eat something and you sitting back and just saying, oh, food's just going to appear on your plate. But these days you can do that and just ring the takeaways and they just deliver to you. Well, you can't just sit back and expect something to be in the oven ready for you. No, you have to get up, you have to see what's there, you have to put it in the oven tray and put it in the oven and set the timer on, boom. Then you can sit back and relax, and when the time's ready, you bring it out, then you enjoy your meal. Same principle, church. Same principle. We want to grow in our faith. We want to grow in our maturity of the Word of God. We have to put some time and effort. We have to put some time and effort. There is no other way, unfortunately. You see? Sometimes we just expect ministers to just wave some form of spiritual thing and just make everything work. It does not work like that. Because this is not magic. I can't just do things and do something and make it work for you. No, you have to put in the effort. You have to put in the time. You have to put in your own time aside and actually seek. Amen. Amen. So we've looked at Prophet Nathan, how he understood his divine calling. We looked at Prophet Nathan, how he was more interested in restoring King David rather than exposing King David, we looked at how Prophet Nathan actually made that extra commitment of actually going to see King David rather than waiting for King David to come see him. You know, we've that saying, haven't we? Prevention is better than cure. Before things got any bad for David, Prophet Nathan actually went to see David. And I want to challenge you, church. If there's any individuals, or if there are any loved ones, or is there any family members in your own personal world as well, and if you see something not quite right in their life, don't wait and allow that situation to just roll on its own. It's your responsibility. The fact that now you've noticed something about that friend or noticed something about that family member, God's shown it to you. Now, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to go and speak to that person? Or are you just going to let it roll and just say, hey, it's a waste of time? It's tough. It's tough. But I tell you where we can all start. We can all start by praying for them and telling them, listen, I'm praying for you. That's all we. That's the most wonderful thing we can say to anybody. You know, like Robert was saying a few weeks ago when he testified, when he was talking about his neighbors, he started by saying, I'm praying for you. And the fact that he was actually praying for them, because we prayed for them together, didn't we? You know, and that's where we start. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for our family members. We pray, church. When was the last time you prayed for your loved ones? When was the last time you prayed for someone that you really want to see come to Lord Jesus Christ? When was the last time you actually sat down and prayed about the situation rather than take control of the situation? Because our natural tendency is we want to take control of the situation. But taking control of the situation don't always work. I've tried taking care of my situations many times. And 90 times out of 100, it's never worked. You know, we want things to happen our way. We want things to take place there and then, but it does not work. And what Bible teaches us, what our walk with Lord Jesus Christ teaches us, is we have to learn to trust. We have to learn to trust. And trusting is one of the most difficult things to do, but yet it's one of the most beautiful things we can do. Trusting is very difficult because when we trust God, we have to surrender it all to God. And we don't really like to surrender it all to God. Let me be the first one to admit. I say, God, I trust you, but I hold quite a lot of bits on my own side, and I like to take control. But the reality, when we say, God, I trust you, I need to lay it all before God. We have to lay it all before God. Prophet Nathan, I love that about Prophet Nathan. He went to see David before things got any worse for him. Can you imagine if David had not been confronted about the situation there and then? Wouldn't surprise me if he would have then committed another sin to hide that sin. Then it's just a case of commit this sin, oh, someone's going to find out. Commit another sin, oh, someone's going to... It's just one after another. It's never ending. It's never ending. That pattern needs to stop. And the only way that pattern will stop is when we challenge that pattern, amen? When we challenge that system, when we challenge that habit. Now let's look at David. Let's look at David. So when David was challenged and when David was approached by Prophet Nathan, so David had an open and transparent heart. King David had an open and transparent heart. David did not argue. It wasn't me. David did not say, oh, what are you talking about? David did not play like he did not know what was happening. David knew what was happening. And you see, when Prophet told him the story about these two men, rich and the poor, David was furious. David was like, how can this man do that and show no pity? But it was actually David living that way. And this shows us something. We are so quick to see faults in other people's lives and forget about all the faults in our own lives. It's so easy to judge other people on the basis of our understanding and judge them on what they do and say, oh, spiritually they are just not there. But then we forget to analyze and investigate and examine our own hearts, and then we forget to ask ourselves the question, where am I in my spirituality? See, Christianity is, and following Jesus is not about looking outside. Following Jesus is all about examining and investigating inside. When I read the Word of God, the Word of God is there firstly to correct me, to cleanse me, to renew me, to refresh me. Every morning when I read the Word, I'm not reading it for somebody else, I'm reading it for me. Because the word needs to challenge me. See, the transformation, I don't know what's happening with my tongue today. Transformation needs to take place in our lives first, before we talk about transformation taking place in our people's lives. You see, we always use this terminology, I'm alright, but it's the others. I'm alright, it's the others. But in reality, what if the others are alright, but it's you? That is the problem. You know, I used to kind of always have this analogy in my head where if I'm spiritual and if I am fully walking right with Jesus, I can mingle with whoever I want and I can go wherever I want because I'm spiritually strong. Has anybody been there? Because you think you can spiritually and mentally and emotionally can handle things because you think, oh, God is with me. But can I just say this, all right? And please hear me correctly when I say this. And listen carefully when I say this, okay? The people you spend time with ultimately will begin to influence your own personal life and your own personal world. Let me say that again. The people you spend time with will impact and influence your personal life and your personal world. You see, we always have to go back to the charger. If we've got iPhones or Samsung or whatever we have, you see, we can't say, oh, I don't need to charge my phone. One charge will last me for a lifetime. It does not work like that. And sadly, sometimes that's how we live. We read something just for the week and we just do something else. And I'm not trying to make this any kind of like religious system or anything like that where you religiously go to the Word of God, where you like, I'm not saying that. This is about relationship. But at the same time, with any relationship, you have to put in an effort. You have to put in an effort. That is just the principle of relationship. No relationship will work if you don't put in an effort. Okay? And in your relationship, you also have to make sure that what you bring to that relationship is healthy. And from what God brings to the relationship is always healthy. And sometimes what we do is we are not faithful to that relationship and we go outside of that realm of relationship and we indulge with other things, which then causes a little bit of toxic in our hearts and in our world and in our lives. And sadly, can I say this? Not with David, but with Solomon, David's son. I know we're jumping ahead, but with Solomon, what had happened was he welcomed idols in his heart. He welcomed things in his world which shouldn't have been there. And can I say this? Could it be that maybe we are welcoming things in our own world that should not be there in the first place? Like toxic relationships. Like toxic things which we shouldn't be listening to. Like toxic things which we shouldn't be watching. So in our free time, where are we investing our time? Where are we investing our energy? See, King David, he should have been in the battle. He was not in the right place when this incident took place. And most of the time, we give in to temptation and sin is because we are in the place where we shouldn't be. We open room, we make room for those things to take place. Because no one forces it to us. We are in charge. See, when the truth came, David did not deny it, but he admitted his wrongdoing. He did not twist the truth, but admitted that he was in the wrong. And I love this about David. He was open and ready for a change. He was open and he was ready for a change. See, yes, David, you know, whenever we read about David, like some beautiful things we see happening in David's life, but also some messy things we see happening in David's life. I mean, if you read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, you know all the messiness that took place after this incident. You see, our actions have consequences. We need to understand that. Our actions have consequences. And sadly, we cannot escape consequences. Everything has consequences. And the more we run away from the truth, the more we begin to live a lie. And for God to complete the work He started in us, we need to have an open and transparent heart. We need to have an open heart. David had an open and transparent heart. And church, let's have an open and transparent heart. And secondly, David was willing to learn from his mistake. He had a hunger for growth. David was willing to learn from his mistakes. He had a hunger for growth. See, our disasters will make us if we learn from them. Our disasters will strengthen us if we learn from them. But our disasters will also destroy us if we don't learn from them. See, with that saying as well, a dog goes back to his vomit. Sorry for using this gruesome analogy, but sometimes, can I say this, we do that ourselves. We know something's not good for us, but then we go back to it over and over again. And why do we go back to it over and over again? The truth is this, because we've not learned from the previous incident. We've not learned from the previous incident. See, David, he understood his calling, but sadly what had happened was he forgot, or he got sidetracked. But after this incident, after that correction, and after that restoring from Prophet Nathan, he understood his calling again. David understood his calling again. It was as if like his calling had been reignited again. The fire that was quenching, the fire that was going away, was starting to burn again. See, his fire was being restored. His fuzzy vision finally became clear. He finally was able to walk around with clear conscience. Can you imagine? The amount of guilt, the amount of pressure he might be carrying with him as he walked around the kingdom, giving instructions to other men and telling them what to do, what not to do. But after this incident, his conscience was clear. His conscience was clear. Finally, the very thing that he'd been struggling for many years had now come to an end. And that is the grace of God. He does not leave the work incomplete, church. The work He started in us, He wants to complete it, but it's just we keep running away from Him. Whenever He brings it up, we run away from Him. We have to stop the running game. We just have to stop running game, and we have to come to terms with this truth that I cannot change myself. I cannot sort myself out. I need to come face to face before God and say to God, God, I need help. And whatever He does next is going to be painful. And whatever He does next in your own personal life is going to be painful. But it will help you to walk around with clear conscience. It will help you to walk around with healing. It will help you to walk around with forgiveness. It will help you to walk around with freedom. Hunger for growth. Church, please hunger for growth. And as I was writing this, I was saying that, I was speaking this over my own life as well. Daniel, please hunger for growth. Don't settle for less. Don't stop growing. Church, please don't stop growing. Please don't stop growing. Continue to grow. Hunger for change. Hunger for what God has for you. You see, this event only made David stronger because he then began to commit himself to the Lord again. Read the Psalms. We read beautiful Psalms written by David where he says, commit your ways to the Lord. We read about all of them. But then when he was going through this phase where he'd committed sin, he was committing his ways to himself. See, we need to place ourselves in his redemptive restoration. He always redeems us and he always restores us. That's the truth. You're never far gone. I'm never far gone. That is the beautiful thing about the gospel. We are never far gone. See, the prodigal son, he must have done, I messed it up really bad here. And in truth, he had messed up really bad. But the truth was, his father was waiting for him. His father was ready to redeem him. His father was ready to restore him. Amen. And today, That is the message of the Lord to us. God is ready to redeem you. God is ready to restore you. But the question is, how willing are you? How open are you? Because He is a restoring God. And our responsibility is to participate in that process of restoration. That is beautiful. Our part is to participate in that process of restoration. That takes away all the pressure. That takes away all the burden. See, I'm making myself available to participate in this process of restoration. Firstly, restoring my own broken heart, and also restoring broken people around me. And how amazing that we get to play this part. So let's join in to what God is doing, church. Let's join into what God is doing in Harvest Fields, amen. Each and every one of us, we're called to participate in this process of restoration. Let's not become a hindrance or blockage, because sometimes we can be a hindrance and blockage to that process of restoration, believe it or not. Someone else says, restoration sometimes, it depends on us, because God drops that truth in our hearts. And when we don't share that truth with that person who needs the truth, we are becoming a hindrance and a blockage. We are delaying that process of restoration. So this is a big responsibility. And if God has placed a responsibility upon you, don't run away from it. The reason it's come to you on your plate is because God entrusts you with it. And what a greater privilege than the King Himself commissioning us for His service. God Himself commissioning us for His service. So to conclude, let me remind us these 4 points again, which we've just learned from Prophet Nathan and King David. Firstly, let us understand our divine calling. Church, understand your divine calling. Operate from the place of deep conviction. Operate from that place of deep conviction. Do what is right, amen. Secondly, let us become more interested in restoration, restoring the broken and the hurting. If someone's struggling, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility, it's our responsibility to restore that broken person and to restore the hurting. Thirdly, let us have an open and transparent heart. Being real, what you see is what you get. We have to be real. See, we have to stop playing games. We have to be real, because God sees everything. God knows everything. And yet He still says to us, I'm ready to redeem you. I'm ready to restore you. And lastly, let us be willing to learn from our mistakes. Let us continue to hunger for truth and growth. Let us continue to hunger for truth and growth. Amen.